Hi, I'm Adam.
And I'm Nitsan, and this is Stories from the Eastern West.
40 years ago this August, something major happened in Gdańsk in Poland. It was the beginning of a great shift in the history of the Eastern Bloc.
For a brief moment, democracy and freedom unexpectedly erupted on the Polish coast, and then spread like wildfire across the country.
Suddenly faced with millions of workers going on strike, the communist government in Warsaw was forced to listen to its citizens for the first time.
And the whole thing started at a shipyard.
Coming up on Stories from the East and West.
Zlin, Praha, Warszawa, Madrid, London, Paris, New York, Casablanca.
Where you see a kind of totality of the human presence.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is exactly
what we
are saying.
By the end of the 1970s, internal tensions in Poland were paving the way for inevitable conflict between the government and the people. The official rhetoric of the Communist Party was that they ruled the country in the name of all its workers, but this statement made very little sense after December 1970, when protests by the Gdańsk shipyard's workers were brutally suppressed by the army.
In 1970, well, that was a situation that hurt all of us. It was a really tragic time.
Halina Lewna was a ship draftswoman at the Gdańsk shipyard.
A friend of mine was killed, Jurek Matelski.
It was a massacre of workers, or should I say ordinary citizens, because they were even shooting at small boys walking in the street in Gdynia.
That was Joanna Gwiazda, opposition activist and former shipbuilding engineer.
And the memory of that, of those events from 1970, was very much alive in Gdańsk.
The movement sprung up here to free the trade unions from Communist Party control.
And that was Joanna's husband, Andrzej Gwiazda, also an engineer.
People were incredibly frustrated with the ubiquitous nepotism, with the fact that only party members could be promoted or get a pay rise. There was strict censorship in theatres, in cinemas, in the press, but maybe most importantly, the availability of everyday goods was getting worse all the time.
We lacked everyday goods, the things that make life easier. That's also something we couldn't come to terms with. Even coffee. Well, coffee was a luxury, but even basic things you wanted to buy to feed your children.
For the shipyard workers, it was even more frustrating. They were building some of the best ships in the world. They were highly skilled and were supposed to be the apple of the Communist Party's eye. And even still, they barely made ends meet.
It became obvious to us that we needed to establish the free trade unions.
The free trade unions of the coast were a tiny organization formed by Andrzej Gwiazda and other activists in the Tri-City area. A loophole in Polish law meant they could legally exist, but weren't allowed to recruit, organize, or criticize the communist system. But that didn't stop them from trying.
We published our own paper, The Coastal Worker, and the secret police really had their eye on us.
That's an understatement. Every person involved in any sort of activity against the Communist Party was persecuted, arrested, often beaten, or pressed with fictional criminal charges, such as theft or the fencing of stolen property.
One of the members of the free trade unions of the coast was Anna Walentynowicz. This was someone who was incredibly popular at the shipyard. At one point, she'd been a model communist worker. But when she became convinced that the whole communist system was all a great swindle, she became an enemy of the system.
Ale była doskonałym fachowcem.
She was a real professional. an excellent welder, doing the most difficult and specialized work. And so when Ania joined the Free Trade Union of the Coast, I felt like we'd won. If these kind of people were joining the free trade unions, that meant that we'd won.
On the 7th of August of 1980, Anna was fired from the shipyard. She had been a role model employee for 16 years, and it was only 5 months before her planned retirement. Her friends from the free trade union decided to shut down the shipyard in her defense.
It took us a week to get the leaflets printed. There was an appeal to stand in defense of Anna Walentynowicz, and attached to that was a second leaflet, How to Strike.
So a week after Anna Walentynowicz was fired, early in the morning, a protest started. Four activists started walking around the shipyard and asking others to join in. Within a span of a few hours, they managed to snowball into a crowd of 12,000 people.
There was such unity, such a strength that arose in people, and everyone felt this sense of joy, that now we were all together, one beside the other.
The strike became so huge and spontaneous that some workers started insisting they should leave the shipyard and march towards the regional Communist Party headquarters. But the memory of the 1970 massacre pushed the four leaders to persuade everybody that they stayed within the fences of the shipyard. This became the beginning of a sit-in strike. Soon, Lech Wałęsa showed up and took on leading the strike.
You've probably heard of Lech Wałęsa, the first democratically elected Polish president after the fall of communism. Back then, he was an electrician who had been fired from the shipyard for illegal activism and was already known by the shipyard workers as being one of the organizers of the 1970 strike.
The crowd marched to the director's office and its leaders demanded Anna Walentynowicz be given her job back.
The shipyard was, well, you could say that we gave it the role of being the engine that pulled the entire train. The very next day, on Friday, there were already over 60 workplaces on strike in Gdańsk.
When I heard that the shipyard was on strike, I was working as a tram driver for the local public transport company.
Henryka Krzywonos is a Polish member of parliament and a former Solidarity activist. In support of the shipyard, she almost single-handedly brought the city's public transport to a near standstill.
We had our own problems too and also wanted to go on strike. It wasn't easy because these were different times. As I drove my tram, I kept thinking it over at every stop. Should I stop here or keep going? Stop or keep going? Finally, when I got it to the Baltic Opera House, I knew it was the right place to stop because that's where all the tracks in Gdańsk intersect. At that point, I knew that if I stopped there, in front of the Opera House, and told everyone that the tram wasn't going any further, that the consequences could be very serious for me. And of course, when I, completely terrified, told everyone that their tram wasn't going any further, then it turned out that the passengers, even though they had to get off, started applauding. I wouldn't say I was some kind of hero because I had no idea what to do next. But then the bus drivers arrived and we all got together and decided that we'd hold a strike meeting at the bus depot on Karl Marx Street. And they decided that the loudest of us should go and get the job done. So they chose me and I went to the shipyard. When I got there, it turned out that the strike was pretty much over. Lech Wałęsa and the strike committee had signed a memorandum. They had been promised a raise, and there was no more strike.
Meanwhile, at the shipyard,
we heard how Wałęsa had announced the end of the strike. And was now telling everyone to leave the shipyard by 6 p.m.
Ja się przestraszyłam.
I was frightened that I'd return to the tram depot and that we'd be done for. They'd take away our bonuses and so on. We really didn't earn very much.
No więc stanęłam pod bramą.
So I stood at the gate and started shouting what my name was, where I was from, that our trams are no match for tanks. And this was while the workers were leaving the shipyard, so my fear was only growing. But then Alina Pienkowska and Anna Valentinowicz ran up to me and started shouting too, and people began to stop. They stopped and listened.
Three women were stopping the shipyard workers who were leaving. Ania Valentynowicz, Alina Pienkowska and Ewa Osowska. They stood in front of the gates and spoke to those who were leaving until they closed the gates.
Representatives from 28 striking workplaces answered our call and assembled at the shipyard. The Inter-Enterprise Strike Committee was formed.
The establishment of the Inter-Enterprise Strike Committee, in Polish known as the MKS, was a crucial moment in the events of August 1980. It was created to unite various striking workplaces under a single organization that could resist regime attempts at breaking the strike by force or by buying them off one by one. By presenting United Front, the striking workers could force the state into direct negotiations.
One of the first tasks that the strike committee faced was securing the vast grounds of the shipyard and ensuring the safety of the thousands of workers that were striking, eating, and sleeping there.
ZOMO squads had the shipyard surrounded.
ZOMO, or the Motorized Reserves of the Citizens Militia, was a paramilitary police formation that specialized in quashing protests and strikes by brute force. They were infamous for being ruthless.
And we had to place guards all along the perimeter, because we were afraid of some kind of provocation, that they would get over the fence and cause some kind of accident, or even start a fire. That would have been disastrous for the reputation of the strike.
One of the people on the opposing side of the barricades was Andrzej Maszlankiewicz.
When the strike broke out, he was a young journalist at the radio and television department of the Central Party Committee. But soon enough, he became the press spokesman for the government's negotiating team.
We had the place bugged, so we could hear what was going on inside the shipyard. The meetings of the strike committee were being relayed through secret wires to regional party headquarters, and we listened to them there. But what it was really like inside the shipyard, there was no other way but to go there in person and find out. Since I had a press ID card, I suggested I should just go there to the shipyard. My direct supervisor said to me, "Are you crazy? You'll get beaten up." But I said, "Well, you know, I'm someone who enjoys getting into tricky situations where it's difficult and dangerous. So I'll try and get inside, see what things are like on the ground." When they let me in, I simply walked around, talked with people. I realized that there was this incredible determination among them, that there was no chance at all for the strike to simply end.
Ten strajk mógł się zakończyć.
Zapisywały się zakłady z południowych, najodleglejszych punktów.
Workplaces were signing up from southern areas, from the furthest possible places from Gdańsk. From Jasło, Krosno, from Karpacz, from Lower Silesia. So more and more our strike was taking on the form of a general strike.
Zbliżał się do formy strajku generalnego.
Mimo że wtedy nie było.
Despite the fact that we didn't have access to the media, there was no internet, no telephones, not just cell phones, but hardly any landlines either. Despite this, information traveled very quickly. People would get in a car, drive up to Gdańsk, find out what was happening, take a stack of pamphlets and return home.
W tym czasie były różne podchody.
Meanwhile, there were various attempts. For instance, Pyka arrived at our depot.
Pan się nazywał Pyka.
A minister called Pyka. He came and promised that the first person to drive out of the depot would get a maluch. Right away, just like that.
A maluch, which literally means little one, was the Polish nickname for the Fiat 126, a tiny car originally designed in Italy that was mass-produced in the People's Republic of Poland. The maluch was uncomfortable to sit in, terrible to drive, and once you registered to buy one, you had to wait years before you could actually get behind the wheel.
Nobody left. That's how united we were.
It was an attempt to break up the Inter-Enterprise Strike Committee. But we were persuading people, through defense, at the repair shipyard, because it was at the repair shipyard where Pyka had started his discussions. And somehow we managed to convince them. And that's when Anna Valentinowicz spoke through this big tube. After all the other arguments had failed, she said, "It's about solidarity. Do it in the name of solidarity." And it worked.
Chodzi o solidarność, w imię solidarności, i oni wrócili.
And that was the first time I heard the word solidarity used in public.
Na początku to tak wyglądało, że
at first it looked like the authorities were just trying to suppress the strike, somehow neutralize it. The whole time, there were these announcements that people had to go to work, because if they didn't, the economy would collapse. These were the sorts of things being said. However, the situation was developing in an entirely different direction. This fundamental document was drawn up, the 21 demands of the strike committee. And there, as the first demand, was the creation of free trade unions that were independent of the Communist Party.
The permission to establish free trade unions independently, independent of the party, for the self-administration of workplaces and the right to strike.
And the guarantee of safety for those striking.
I think that's everything. Oh, and censorship.
The lifting of censorship and the freeing of political prisoners.
It became very obvious that all these demands could no longer be sorted out with the regional authorities or the party secretary in Gdańsk. These were demands addressed straight to the national government.
A government delegation arrived and entered the shipyard. They came by bus. When they got out of the bus, they still had about 200 meters to walk. Shipyard workers stood on both sides, and they had to squeeze through. They were scared. I'm sure of it. They were walking into a wasp's nest. It was incredible, really. They could have expected all sorts of reactions, but people just stood there. No one whistled, no one laughed, obviously no one applauded, but they entered the shipyard and we began talking.
When it came to arguments, well, we had a clear advantage, especially so because in the health and safety hall where the discussions were taking place, they could see the public outside glued to every window. And then, later on, everything was broadcast, and not only tens of thousands listened in, but probably several hundred thousand. This gave our words serious weight.
Every time Deputy Prime Minister Jagielski declared that something or other couldn't be done, we would suddenly hear this jeering. The crowd was expressing its disapproval. It sounded quite amazing.
A turning point in the discussions was about how the Polish People's Republic only allows for trade unions, meaning the Central Council of Trade Unions. At that point, I took out the labor code where they could see that the words trade unions were written without capital letters. That meant that they were a common noun and didn't refer to any specific organization, thus allowing for the existence of independent ones. And surprisingly, this was the argument that finally convinced them to agree.
The authorities in Warsaw, meaning the Central Party Bureau, had reached the conclusion that it was time the strike ended, we had to make a decision that, fine, we let these free trade unions be and somehow deal with them later on.
In fact, they didn't really have any other option. By now, around 6 million workers around the country were on strike, and the situation was so tense that any further aggravation of the conflict would realistically only lead to violence.
Well, undoubtedly, they did it under the threat of rebellion, of revolution.
All the demands had been settled, and I was preparing a communique, because I was the one writing these communiques. All employees of workplaces on the Gdańsk coast, which have undertaken strike action, are called upon to end their strikes immediately and return to work. In the meantime, the phone rang. We don't agree to this communique. Why don't you agree? Well, because not everything has been addressed. What hasn't been addressed? Well, there is one demand that hasn't been addressed, which wasn't included in the 21 demands, but announced during demonstrations, namely the freeing of political prisoners.
Because their reaction to the strike had been to arrest opposition activists all across the country, and the arrests were numerous, in every city, in every locality.
All those who weren't at the strike were arrested.
This demand was assigned to me and Andrzej Gwiazda to sort out. I knew that there was no way we could give in. They had to agree to it.
Jagielski siedzi za biurkiem przy telefonie.
Deputy Prime Minister Jagielski is sitting behind a desk, a telephone nearby. Every now and then he calls Warsaw. He didn't smoke cigarettes, but he was chewing on them out of anxiety. He was turning pale, red and green in turn. It was August, so it was really hot and the tension was rising. Another phone call comes in, and he's getting more and more agitated. Until finally, in the early afternoon, Jagielski gets the news that the political prisoners will be released. Around a dozen names were mentioned. And thanks to that, we could now go sign the agreement.
Ja przynajmniej odczuwałem to jako taką emocję wewnętrzną, sporą.
For me at least, this moment had quite an emotional significance. Something completely new was taking place. This great new organization called Solidarity was emerging. We signed the Gdańsk Agreement and, well, a certain era had ended.
Good evening. It is over in Poland. After almost 3 weeks of strikes that nearly brought the regime to its knees and the nation to the brink of catastrophe, an agreement has been signed giving the workers rights and privileges unheard of in the communist world.
We realized that there was now a hole. The moment they started negotiating with us, there was an irreparable hole in the communist system. You could say that by signing the Gdańsk Agreement, we had decided that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. We didn't demand free elections, we didn't demand independence from Soviet influence. But on the other hand, they had agreed to something that had never been allowed anywhere under any communist system, the creation of independent unions. So fundamentally, it was the breakdown of totalitarianism.
At the beginning of the strike on August 14th, the Free Trade Union had just 4 members. A few days later, it was a mass movement with thousands of people involved, all throwing away their Communist Party cards and becoming a very significant force in society.
On the 17th of September, 1980, delegates from every region in Poland arrived in Gdańsk and established a country-wide trade union, which they named Solidarity. And this was actually breaking the Gdańsk Agreement, which had only foreseen independent unions on the coast.
We were pushing things forward. We wanted freedom in its full expression. We wanted to gain as much as possible from the situation. Whenever something happened, we would go on strike. After all, we had the right to now. We had signed the agreement, and we knew that we could.
I think that the 1980 strikes were ultimately a great success and substantially changed everyday reality in Poland. There was freedom of speech, people could speak in plain words, spoke normally, they said what they thought. After the strikes, and even during the strikes, everyone started printing their own newsletters. It was a real phenomenon.
To był pewien fenomen.
Gro informacji szło w gazetkach zakładowych, które nie podlegały żadnym.
Bulk of information came via workplace publications that weren't subject to any kind of control. And during discussions we had with the government, Minister Czurek, I think it was, took out a stack of pamphlets where ministers were referred to using workman's language.
Nazywali ich po imieniu.
Suddenly there was apprehension on our side. So I spoke up and said, the minister should appreciate these publications, because we of course know what the workers think of you, but diplomatic courtesy forbids us from telling you.
W języku dyplomatycznym to nie możemy tego powiedzieć.
But this way you can know, you can find out what people really think of you.
Więc to był taki.
And so, this was a period, you could say, of a great lesson in democracy and a great lesson in freedom.
Ja uważam, że cała Polska to zrobiła.
In my opinion, it was the entire country that did it. It wasn't Wałęsa, it wasn't Gwiazda, or Anna Walentynowicz, or anyone else. It was all of Poland. We all stood in different parts of the country. We stood together, we went on strike, we did what we believed in.
Ale stocznia wciąż była I jest.
But the shipyard was, and still is, the most important place of all. Although these days it's changing and it's pretty much gone. When I walk through the shipyard and I see that it's crumbling, that buildings are falling over and so on, well, it's very sad. For me, the place still holds a lot of meaning.
Dla mnie ma ogromne znaczenie.
Over the next 12 months, over 10 million workers across Poland joined the new independent trade union, Solidarity. This new movement seemed to be unstoppable and a real threat to the authority of the communist leadership, who could no longer claim to speak for Polish workers.
But on December 13th, 1981, a mere year after the Gdańsk Agreement was signed, the head of the government, General Jaruzelski, put a stop to the whole thing and declared martial law. The leaders of Solidarity were arrested, and the organization was forced underground.
But by that point, these desperate moves were signs that the fate of the communist system was sealed. It had taken an almost fatal blow. By the end of the decade, it would be gone.
This episode of Stories from the Eastern West was written and produced by Piotr Wołoczko for Culture PL, and hosted by Adam Żuławski and me, Nitzan Reisner.
Was edited by Wojciech Elekczak with some help from me. Wojciech also did the music and sound design.
We'd like to thank Andrzej and Joanna Gwiazda, Henryka Krzywonos,
Andrzej Maszlankiewicz, and Halina Lewna, and everybody else we spoke to along the way in the making of this episode. And a special thanks to Anna Miller from the Arteria Association and Metropolitanka Group in Gdańsk for her knowledge and assistance. She's also one of the creators of the Shipyard as a Female mobile app, which tells the story of the Gdańsk shipyards through the eyes of the women who work there. You'll find a link to it in our show notes.
If you enjoyed this story, then we highly recommend our special season from last year of stories about the democratic revolutions of 1989, The Final Curtain. You'll find it in our feed, in your podcast app, or on the Stories from the Eastern West website at sftew.com, along with the show notes for this episode.
Make sure to subscribe or check our feed next month. On the last day of September, we'll be releasing a story about a martial arts master who travelled from one fringe of the communist world to the other for a place he could call home.
It's going to be action-packed, so make sure you're back here in a month. See you next time.
Bye.